You're listening to Public Affairs Programming at 102.7 KZEZ. Joining us today is Zach Renstrom, General Manager of the Washington County Water Conservancy District. The district manages the water needs of Washington County by developing new water supplies and managing existing water resources. Welcome.
It's great to be here today.
We really appreciate your time. You know, our listeners have been talking about what a crazy water year it's been. I guess it was really wet and really dry. Tell us what that means for the district.
So the last 2 years, we've seen huge variability in our system. This summer, we actually set a record, and it's not a very good record. We actually went 155 days without any measurable rainfall in St. George area.
I can believe it. It was so long that even I noticed.
It was a situation that's a record we do not want to break again.
Mm-hmm. And I take it, of course, you don't control the weather, but you do have other ways to help. I know conservation is one of your key elements as far as your planning.
Yes, conservation is probably our biggest ongoing project that we're always striving to do better here in Washington County. Our citizens here have done an excellent job with conservation, should be commended for what they've done so far in the past. But even with that, the wonderful record that we have in conservation and beating other goals set by the state of Utah, we still have areas that we need to improve on.
And what are those?
So it's all about some of it is as simple as turning off your sprinklers when it's raining outside, and or setting, you know, your irrigation schedules. Some of them are a little bit more complex, where we actually go in and provide assistance to people, like remodeling their homes, like when they replace toilets. We do sponsor low flow toilets. And so it's just not one thing. We look at conservation. We look at everything from the very beginning to where we produce the water to when it goes through somebody's home.
So the first step, obviously, for consumers is to be aware that conservation should be our first goal. Is that right?
That's correct. And we spend a lot of time and effort in trying to educate the people. And so one of the things that we do is, you know, we invite people up to our garden up on Red Hills Boulevard, where people can come and look and see that, you know, you can have a beautiful landscape with lots of beautiful plants in it, where they use very little bit of water. But then we also try to supply people with information so that they can make wise decisions when it comes to water.
So they don't have to guess. They can consult with you and get the job done.
Exactly.
Obviously, keeping track of how much rainfall, what your water supply is, and what conservation efforts are in play is just the beginning of what you do at the district. Tell me more about how this relates to your planning, short-term and long-term, to make sure we still have water coming out of our tap in years to come.
Yes. So even though we talk a lot about conservation and we're doing a great job with conservation, we still have to talk about these big projects. We've just completed a couple of projects that should help ensure that we have a safe water supply here in Washington County. We just completed a large pipeline project from Sand Hollow Reservoir out to basically the area of the new airport. We're going to hopefully start a large water tank in the Warner Valley area here shortly. And also probably next year start a reservoir site called Toker Reservoir up by Anderson Junction. Because we have to plan for these variabilities in what we get in rainfall. And this last year shows it. If we had not had these big, large reservoirs, Quail Reservoir and Sand Hollow Reservoir, when that new record hit, we would not have had the water for our residents.
So the Toker Reservoir is going to add to your stable of water storage, as it were.
Yes, it's just another tool that puts in our toolbox where we're able to manage the water within this county and make sure that we always have that reliable source of water.
Sometimes it's difficult for water consumers to understand. When we look at a reservoir, we know there's water in there. When you tell us that you're building a pipeline, we understand you're moving water from one place to the next. Can you bring it home for us a bit about the pipeline, about the proposed reservoir, and what that will mean for us at the end when we turn on our tap? How does that help?
So I say my job is completed is when somebody wakes up in the morning and they can just turn on their shower and they don't have to think about the water coming out of that shower head. And the only way that happens is because there is a massive infrastructure with lots of pipeline and lots of wonderful, qualified, dedicated people that will work on that. And so we have people working 24 hours, 7 days a week without holidays, making sure that happens. So we do a great job making sure that happens. Like I'm going to assume that every listener that's listening to this, when they woke up this morning, they didn't think in their head, will they have water? Because we're doing our jobs. Mm-hmm. But to make sure that continues for you know, as there's variability with our rainfall, and for our future generations, we have to continually plan, and we have to continue work on new projects to make sure that happens.
It's been a long time since Americans in any part of the country have given thought to whether it's a drought year or whether it's a rainy year in relation to the water they use. For when people were on wells, it was more significant and so on. And now we're in a situation where it seems to be a bit drier and a bit hotter, and that changes what's available to us. You were saying before we started that, you know, you have a number of these pipeline and reservoir projects, and of course you have one large pipeline project that you're projecting out. Tell us how they all go together. It seems like you're building a number of pipelines and reservoirs, but you also have the large pipeline project going on. How do they interrelate, and why are they all important?
So I'd like to comment really on something you just said there, that right now we have a wonderful infrastructure that's been in place. And that's because several years ago, when I say several years ago, I'm talking about 50 or 60, sometimes 100 years ago, really good planning was done. And it takes a long time to plan these projects. It takes a long time to finance these big projects. And they put those tools in place to make sure that what we have today is kind of what we have. Basically, we can wake up in the morning and flush our toilets without thinking about that. So these projects are just adding to that tools. So with the Lake Powell Pipeline, that's going to be a huge tool in our toolbox to ensure that this area has the water it needs for our next generation of children, and also for the people that are moving into this. It's not a new discussion, because they've been taught. If you go back and look at the history of this county, they were having the exact same discussion about developing water sources, developing water storage, and how are they going to fund all this 100 years ago. And those individuals made wise decisions so we could live here today.
Is it difficult to have to project that far in the future and then get the public on board? The Lake Powell Pipeline has been controversial in that many people are opposed to it for any variety of reasons, and that's perfectly okay. That's democracy in action. How is the task of explaining these things to the public who are living right now in conflict with your planning that is 20 and 40 years in the future? How do you bring those things together? How would you like to bring those things together?
So I think with the Lake Powell Pipeline, I think the most important thing is just to have people sit down and get educated about the project. So a lot of people talked about the project, and I spent a lot of my time going around talking to people, because I think the key there is for people to sit down and get educated about the project, what it is. And, you know, we hear a lot of things out there about, you know, it's going to cost so much money and what's going to happen. But it's really nice that we can sit down with them and say, hey, don't take our word for it. Let's take the financing of it. The Utah State Legislature had their audit department come in and look at the Lake Powell Pipeline. And they came back and said, yes, it is a completely feasible project from a financial standpoint. And so, we can sit down and talk to people and show them that study and say, listen, this is not our numbers. This is not, St. George numbers. This is a complete outside independent audit done of the Lake Powell Pipeline, where people can come and look at that study and go through it. Or if they want to talk about conservation, we love talking about conservation, and we'll continue to talk about conservation. But even if we meet all our goals for conservation, we're still going to need the pipeline. And so I think the key with the Lake Powell Pipeline is just getting educated. Don't hear the rumors out there sometimes, but we encourage people to actually go to our website, which is wcwcd.org, where they can go and learn about these projects, mm-hmm. and the Lake Powell Pipeline. And I think that's the key.
Right. You built the Sand Hollow Pipeline, I take it, without much controversy. But for some reason, Lake Powell, it hits some switch in the public that makes them not want it. What's their biggest complaint that you hear? Is it the cost? Is it they think we can conserve our way out of needing it? Give me an idea of what you're up against.
So, unfortunately, your statement about the Sand Hollow Regional Pipeline, people did oppose that. They came and basically said we didn't need it because you just don't need it. And so there's always going to be that group of people that will just be anti-everything. With the Lake Powell Pipeline and the response to that, some of the stuff, the key thing I say to that is, let's say if it's financing, let's sit down and talk about financing. And let me bring out this audit that was done by the Utah State Legislature's auditing department, and I can show them that. If we talk about conservation, it's not our numbers. We've actually gone out and looked at other communities, and when we compare our community to other communities, we actually do really well here for water use. You know, there are some people that simply just don't want it because they don't want to see this area grow, and that is a factor, but all the cities have master plans that are dealing with growth. We're a fast growing community, and we need to respond to that and not just put our heads in the ground, but actually, you know, talk about it and plan for it.
So it's important for us as members of the public to understand that it's not that people at the district dreamed up a pipeline, that what you do, like any other organization that's part of public infrastructure, is work with the cities and the county about what their planning is, how they plan for it to grow. You work with all the different departments. And so maybe there's something about the pipeline that's making you stand out. You're getting a little more attention than you might normally, but it's really part of an overall planning process between all the municipalities. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, the water district, we don't promote growth or we don't discourage growth. We simply respond to growth. And that's exactly what we're doing, is the cities have developed master plans and they've come to the water district saying, you know, we need this water. And that's our job. That's our fiduciary duty to make sure that water is there for our citizens. And it's a safe, drinkable water supply. And so we go out and we look, and, you know, 20, 25 years ago, when they first started looking at this issue, they kind of went out and said, where is the most reliable source of water in the Western United States? And it happens to be the Colorado River. And so that's why they started looking at that. And multiple engineering firms have looked at this, and they've all come back and said, it is a very feasible project. And that's why they've gone down that. Now, since it's a big project, it has taken a long time, and there's been a lot of public discussion about it, which is a good thing. We should be doing that. I'm sure we'll have lots more discussions about it.
Do people have Lake Powell pipeline fatigue?
Yes, I think a lot of people do. But I don't. I'm always excited to talk about it.
You've told us that the numbers pencil out for the pipeline. Some people are talking about how there isn't really enough water in the Colorado River, or won't be by the time the pipeline is completed. Would you like to address that?
Sure. So if we look at, like I said earlier, if we look at water supplies within the Western United States, the Colorado River is the most reliable. And so the question is what are we doing with that water, and how is that water being managed? And the state of Utah is not taking its full allocation of its water. And even with the Lake Powell pipeline, there's still a big chunk of water there that Utah is not using for their allocations. So with the drought contingency plan and a few things that have been talked about the Colorado River, they really focus on the lower basins because they're the ones that have been taking so much water out of the Colorado River. It's not the upper basins.
And Utah is an upper basin state, correct?
We are an upper basin. And so it's been great. In fact, I just came from a conference where we were talking about it, and the lower basins are recognizing that they need to do a lot more, and they need to do a lot more conservation. And Utah is simply developing just a small portion of the right it has. And another key thing to that is it's adding another tool in our toolbox. So if we do have climate change or climate warming, whatever you want to call it, it's given us another tool to make sure that the citizens here in Washington County have that. Because right now, we only have one water source here, and it's the Virgin River. And in the last couple of years, we have seen the variability of that, the huge swings, where the Colorado River drains a much larger area, so they just don't have that as much variability as our small little watershed here does.
So for people who have complaints, concerns, an out-and-out gripe about the Lake Powell pipeline, you want them to contact you, contact the district, learn more about it, and I know you want to hear what they have to say, correct?
Sure. We're always open. I talk to people all the time. I go to community outreach groups and talk to them. But, you know, a part of this is the Utah State Legislature several years ago looked at this issue and passed the Lake Powell pipeline. It passed unanimously except for one dissenting vote, where the state of Utah came in and said, this is our water allocation. It's a feasible project, and we want this for economic growth in Washington County. And that's what they've done. And so, you know, if people are looking for information, you know, I encourage them to contact the district. We spend a lot of time and effort trying to educate people, and we've got some great websites. In fact, we have one website just for the Lake Powell Pipeline, and there's a link to it to our website. And so I encourage people to go to that and learn more about it and look at the studies. We're very transparent. Every study that's been completed for the Lake Powell Pipeline, for the environmental review process, is on that website. They can read through those documents, and there's going to be more opportunities for the public to come out and learn more about the project here. The first of the year, there's going to be some scoping meetings where people are invited to come to those, and there'll be more of those.
So your main focus is please be educated about the project. You don't mind if people object to it, but you want them to have all the information first, right?
Well, I think whenever we deal with issues, we should learn as much as we can from them and go through it and form our opinions based upon facts, not hyperbole.
You've praised Washington County water users for their conservation efforts. What is the one thing you want them to know today while you're here talking with us about their water supply, about their efforts, about the future of water in Washington County?
So I think the thing that I want them to know is today why they have clean, reliable water is because wise decisions were made 50 years ago. And so when we talk about these water projects, we need to think about 50 years in advance of what we're going to do that. 50 years ago, the community got together and says, we are going to build these big projects. We're going to finance these big projects for not them that were living there at the same time, but it's for the future. There's an old saying that we say in the water district or in the water community, we says, we all drink out of wells we didn't dig. And there's a lot of truth to that, in that we need to really look towards the future and just not 5 years, not just 10 years, but really 50 years out.
Zach Renstrom, General Manager of the Washington County Water Conservancy District, thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
You've been listening to Public Affairs Programming at 102.7 KZEZ.